I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
I want to dig a little bit deeper into this strongly worded memo from the commissioner of the PGA Tour. Talk some golf with co-host of Tee to Green in the Odyssey app and on our Odyssey Sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. The great Brian Koziel, the pride of SUNY Brockport, joining us now in the sports bar. Brian, the LIV Tour, you keeping up to it, keeping up with it today? And where and how can we do likewise, if you even are?
I did watch a little this morning. Free stream access, livgolf.com. Okay. And, there's a big play button if you wanted to watch it, but, yeah, it was interesting. I wanted to turn it on just to watch a little bit to take in kind of what the scene would be. Obviously they have promoted themselves as golf with more fun, and there, you know, there's some things to it that I think, the golf side of it that I think are intriguing, that are interesting. There are some parts of the golf to me that I find to be silly. The off the course things that have been controversial for the months building up to this, obviously, is probably where most people still seem to be kind of talking about and catching up with in terms of the details involved. But in terms of day one of the golf, on the broadcast itself, there were some things that I'm guessing we'll maybe see on the PGA Tour sometime soon when we watch their broadcast. Mm.
Yeah, Brian, we're discussing here, like, the backing is there, but will we as sports fans, not just golf fans, but as sports fans actually care about this? And I guess my first question is, like, what are the chances that there's actually going to be a major TV deal other than having to go search this out on a website?
Right now, I would think probably not. Maybe in Europe, that there's a platform for them to be on live television. I don't think in the United States we'll see it, at least at the moment. I would guess that all the current entities that are involved in golf, NBC, Golf Channel, CBS, ESPN, they are steering clear of this because they don't want to at any point annoy their current partner in the PGA Tour, nor risk losing some of the majors. And to me, how this all goes forward, to me, is on four things, and it's the four majors. The PGA, and I can see why for people it could be confusing, because the PGA and the PGA Tour, the PGA of America that runs the PGA Championship doesn't necessarily run the PGA Tour. It's kind of different, but nevertheless, the PGA Tour runs the weekly golf tournament. However, the four majors, people may not know this, the PGA Tour actually does not run those. The Masters is run by the Masters. We know they make their own rules. We've talked about them for many years. The U.S. Open, which is next week, is run by the USGA. The USGA is the governing body that makes the rules of golf, along with the R&A, Royal and Ancient, which is the European version of that. They run the Open Championship, the British Open. And then the PGA Championship, which probably a lot of people think, oh, that's the PGA Tour. It actually is not. That's the PGA of America. Mm. Those are the golf professionals that when you go to a golf course and the golf pro is there working, and that's the guy that gives you, the guy or gal that gives you lessons, that's the PGA, the Professional Golfers of America. The tour itself as a commissioner and organizes the other weekly events within the tour. They make up the schedule and all that sort of stuff. So it's that, you know, they do the FedEx Cup standings. They award the prize money. But the majors, to me, is where I'm really intrigued. Where do they stand in all this? We know next week's U.S. Open, they're going to let it kind of go for this year. But if there's life of the LIV Golf Tour, to me, it hinges on what the majors ultimately decide to do. Do they let them play? Do they not let them play? Do they side with the PGA Tour? Do they not? Those four, to me, are, I feel like, holding all the cards here and what could make it interesting going forward. The casual sports fan, they tune into the majors, and they maybe not care so much about whether or not Dustin Johnson is playing in this week's Canadian Open or next week's AYZ Classic. But they do care if he's playing in the Masters, and they're going to watch the Masters or the U.S. Open. So to me, it's the majors and what they do going forward here is going to be very interesting, I think, in terms of what it'll mean for the players and maybe the future of this LIV Golf Tour.
So, Brian, today's memo from PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, is it anything more than optics? I mean, there's really no substance behind this other than to say or maybe try to publicly shame these golfers who have told the tour that they're going to resign their membership or they're going to play in the LIV Tour?
I think you're right. I don't think it's there wasn't much there to tell us what actually this punishment or discipline would be other than the fact that they're suspended. Well, what does that mean? These guys... The guys that really committed, the household names, DJs, Mickelsons, DeChambeaus, specifically, they gained a lot of money knowing that they might not play in the regular PGA Tour events. Again, that excludes the four majors tournaments where a lot of these guys feel like that's where their, quote, legacy and their record is to be judged in terms of how their career goes. So, I don't know. I mean, some of these guys, they're making so much money over there. They might not care that they don't get to play in, you know, the Canadian Open this week or the FedEx Cup Classic or, you know, fill in the Honda Classic. They don't care because they're making so much over there. The money that is involved is insane. I'm surprised that for players that already have established themselves so securely, meaning Mickelson, meaning DJ, here I am comparing money when all this is like totally 99.9% of everybody listening right now has no idea what we're talking about. We're talking about $125 million. Like DJ is already worth three digits worth of millions in his career and his brand and his, you know, all his other off the course opportunities. So why does he need another $125 million? I don't know. Maybe just because he can, maybe because he feels like it's there. He has a really interesting attitude about it. Mickelson himself, who knows what money he needs with what has gone on with his gambling. That's a whole other side story. But the money grab, to me, for the established guys, you're already living the top 1% life in the world. Like, why do you want to be involved in something that has such a negative connotation to be tied with? To me, I get it for the player that's 150th in the world that is trying to make cuts to maybe make a living on the PGA Tour. Oh my goodness, I could make $5 million, come over here and I'm set for life. I'm not saying I would want anybody to join this tour. I think there's too much negativity involved. But I could understand it for the fringe guy that's trying to make it on the PGA Tour, that's going tournament to tournament to hold on to a card. For the Dustin Johnsons of the world, I don't get it at all.
Yeah. For Phil Mickelson, and you brought up the four entities that are really going to kind of swing this, right? And one of them being Augusta National. And there's Phil today teeing off and with no ads. And then you zoom in like, wait a second, on that black vest, that's an Augusta National logo. Brian, he didn't do that by accident, correct? Like, is he sending a signal there, a message?
He has to be. These guys have every detail mapped out, as you know. Their outfits, their sponsors, what goes on their shirt, what goes on their hat, what goes on their bag, what's on their, you know, every logo that's there. Notice all of his other sponsors that we're used to seeing, Callaway, Workday, KPMG, none of them were there. But you saw the Mickelson brand, his little silhouette jumping up and down on his hat and on his shoes, and yes, the Augusta National logo on that black vest. 100%. He did that for a reason. I don't know if that was if to say, like, I'm sticking it to you in some way. Like to be curious to know, ultimately, we still may never know, in April, if he wanted to play the Masters and was told go away, or if it was ultimately Phil's decision. He spins it as if that he wasn't ready to play golf, but I can't imagine what would he be doing if he felt still like he had a good relationship with those at Augusta National. Then what would be the point of wearing that? To me, he's doing it because he can. And you know the people at Augusta National don't like it when their brand gets kind of taken shots at. So who knows what they're thinking today. I got to think for Mickelson, though, there was some sort of conscious decision to say, hey, look what I'm doing right now. I'm wearing your logo here on a tour that maybe they don't want any involvement in.
So, Brian, I know that we can't look that far ahead of the future and know what's going to happen with this LIV Tour, because there's a lot of golf to be played between now and May. But we're thinking about the PGA next year. We're thinking about Oak Hill. And you know, we see this list. I mean, look, I don't know that I'm going to be at Oak Hill next year saying, you know what would have made this better? If Ian Poulter was here, I would have really enjoyed this more. But are we going to see some of these guys? I mean, is the U.S. Open this weekend kind of like a primer as to what we might actually see with majors moving forward, and we will see these guys even though the PGA Tour is suspending them?
Yeah, so the USGA said that these guys are welcome to play next week if they've earned the exemptions to be in, whether it's through their wins or through their points. But if you read how they worded it, it said, based on this season's criteria, the players that may be playing in this LIV golf event this week have earned the right to be there. We feel like since the rules were set up that way in advance, we don't want to take that out. Now, going forward, after this year's U.S. Open, will there be a change in the qualifications? Will it mean that they have to earn a certain number of points in PGA Tour events? Will they even count points or whatever they money earned or whatever they want to do to, I guess, value what they do on the LIV Golf Tour? I mean, if Dustin Johnson wins this week, let's just say, or Phil Mickelson wins this week, they're going to win $4 million or something along those lines. Well, you can't compare that to money earned on the PGA Tour because it's so much higher. Well, they have the FedEx Cup points also as a way to qualify, or an official world golf ranking as a way to qualify. Or if you win tournaments, you have a way to qualify. Well, there's nothing in the USGA rulebook that says, how are we going to award points if you finish third in a LIV golf event? Or, hey, if we say you win on the PGA Tour, you get to go to the Masters the following year. Well, if you win on the LIV Tour, are they taking that as a win? You know, so a lot of rules and a lot of what is required to get into these majors. I feel like the rulebook's going to have to be rewritten. For now, I'm going to guess the U.S. Open and the Open Championship, the last two ones of this season, they're just going to basically say what I think the U.S. Open said is, look, if you made it this year based upon the current rules, we're going to invite you in, and maybe it'll be up to Augusta National to kind of set the tone on what the rules will be going forward, because they'll be the first major of next year.
Brian Koziol, our guest. You can catch him on the Tee to Green show on sister station WGR, also inside the Odyssey app every Saturday morning. Brian, I am curious, and I will tune in probably to that first one that is stateside in Portland coming up late June, early July. The fact that the LIV Tour has hired Ari Fleischer just to kind of coach these guys up when it comes to how to answer questions. I guess my question's about this. We're used to golf tournaments where you have mashed potato guy, getting the coal guy, everything else. And what are these galleries going to be like? Because I would imagine that this tour is going to have like a zero tolerance policy when it comes to that sort of thing, because who knows what somebody could say to these golfers and about their employer.
I got to think that from what we've seen already, that you're right on, that if fans are there to just chirp in somebody's ear about taking this dirty money and all the negatives that go with this tour, they're going to get tossed. Already today, Alan Shipnick, who wrote the book, who just came out with that book recently about Phil Mickelson, was actually, reports have said, and according to him, I'm going to believe him, he said he was actually escorted out of Phil Mickelson's press conference during today. He actually showed a text exchange with he and Greg Norman saying how that he wrote that, hey, two of your goons escorted me out. He goes, I de-escalated the situation, luckily, but I'd like to talk about this. Norman then said he didn't know anything about it. Meanwhile, there's a picture that's online surfacing that Shipmick is shown with these two security guys, with Norman standing by looking at the whole thing. So who knows how severe this is going to be? I mean, if there's any negativity about any of these players or anybody on this tour, you know, is Norman sitting there overlooking it, kind of giving the little silent signal like, yeah, go ahead, take care of that? Like, it sounds, you know, brutal already. They're kicking out a media member who, to be honest, he wrote what I thought was a very fair book about Mickelson. Yes, they revealed some insights about some of his things that gave him troubles, but I also thought it made Phil look very good in many ways, too. And it's also not the first media member that wrote a book about an athlete. So to just kick a guy out before the press conference even started, this wasn't like the 10th question of a nasty exchange. This was before it even started. They took him out. So already to me, not a very good start on the PR side of things.
Yeah, well, they're going to do their best to control the messaging as best they can. And Brian, the one guy that we haven't talked about yet, and the guy that was reportedly offered close to $1 billion to jump ship is Tiger. You know, we mentioned guys like Dustin Johnson, where you can kind of question, like, why would you do it? You know, you already have the money. You're already established. Is it just because you can? Well, Tiger, as of right now, hasn't jumped ship. What do we know about the LIV Tour and Tiger Woods?
Tiger, when he's been asked about it, has said that he's loyal to the PGA Tour, that he cares about his legacy there. We know Tiger is all about majors, but I think he also has sided very closely with Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner. I know that they've worked very closely. Tiger was a big part of the reason why they had that payout this year for players in terms of their presence, socially, you know, social media presence. They're essentially paying them for their brand value. And Tiger ended up having that go that way. And, you know, I think that that's probably going to have to be an area that will probably have to be upped if you're the PGA Tour, seeing what kind of money that the Saudis are offering these other players to come over. I don't see Tiger ever doing it, because Tiger will never play a full schedule ever again. To me, he still cares about the majors. And because of the fact that we're probably on chapter 10 out of an 11 chapter career for Tiger, I don't see that he would feel that there's any value in jumping ship, even though it is an insane amount of money that they would throw in at him. But I think even for Tiger, even though it is that much money, I mean, Tiger's worth over $1 billion as it is. I think he probably thinks that, you know what, no matter how much money they throw at me, it's not worth possibly tarnishing my legacy, because that's something that he values so much.
Brian, when we talk about commissioners in sport, and like I think most people would have kind of an image, right? Adam Silver, he's got it together. Rob Manfred, doesn't like the sport, in over his head. Roger Goodell, all about the money, he puts out fires constantly. Gary Bettman, terrible. What kind of commissioner is Jay Monahan? And how will he be in trying to influence Augusta National, the USGA, as you mentioned, the PGA Championship, something completely different? How will he be trying to wield that influence in terms of not having these players in those tournaments?
Well, I think he's going to have to be very aggressive and figure out a way to get these four bodies, governing bodies that run these four majors, on the PGA Tour side. If not, this tour may have a little bit more juice than he thinks, because the big names in golf, if they're still able to play in the four majors, there's going to be a lot of guys, and we've already seen it with DJ, we've already seen it with DeChambeau, they're going to say, you know what, I can go play in eight of these LIV golf events in between the other four majors all year. That's all I want to do anyway. But I can go ahead and make 10 times the amount of money. I only have to play three rounds.
Yeah.
And I can pick my schedule this way. So I think Jay Monahan's job is difficult at this point. He's going to have to increase purses. I think something that you'll see on the PGA Tour very soon, if not as soon as next season, I think you're going to see some sort of payment given to golfers that don't make the cut. I think that's one thing that is very attractive to the fringe player. You go over and play in this LIV golf event, even if you would, quote, miss the cut, you still get paid. There is no cut, but they're all getting paid. On the PGA Tour, if you miss the cut, you don't get any money. For some of these guys, that's a lost weekend when you throw in flights, hotels, meals, and then your team with your caddy and your coach and your therapy and your trainer and, you know, all your agent and all these sort of things like that ends up being a losing week in terms of money. And I think that's something that while Phil Mickelson, I think, has gone around it the entire wrong way, and I would disagree with almost everything in terms of how he's presented his argument, there are a few valid points that I think he could have brought up in a much different way that could have actually maybe made some sense. And I think one of them is offering something to players that play in the event but end up missing the cut. If Gerrit Cole goes out and pitches for the Yankees and has a bad game and he gets yanked in the first inning, he still gets paid. If Josh Allen goes out in the first quarter and throws five interceptions and they put the backup in, he's still going to get paid that week. If two guys, you know, if you go out on the PGA Tour and you're there all week practicing, you play two rounds and you miss the cut by one, you don't get paid. And, you know, I think maybe for as much value as they're getting now with spectators' money, sponsor money, and, of course, television money, that these players might feel a little undervalued. So I think that's something and a challenge that Jay Monahan is definitely going to have to figure out. How do I get the four governing bodies on my side for the majors? And how do I make sure that these players feel like they're valued? Because there's no way he's going to be able to come up with the kind of money right now that Greg Norman and the Saudis have. So he's going to have to figure out other creative ways to really make these players feel valued to the point where the money differential still is going to be not enough to overcome them just leaving and going to the other place to go get all that big checks coming their way.
And Brian, you mentioned it. It's three rounds instead of four. That's appealing. You're getting paid more to do less work. And then for the pure competition side of things, the guys, we know these guys are competitors. It's in their DNA. They're wired differently than us mortals are. How much of an advantage does the LIV Tour have, given that they're doing a shotgun start instead of varying tee times for TV?
Yeah, that's another big advantage. Your days are going to be shorter. The fact that if you're going to put it on TV or you're going to view it, it's all in one window. All basically in the four-hour window, you can watch every player start to finish. One thing that we've heard players talk about, I cannot believe that this is the ultimate reason somebody would go play the LIV Tour, but there's, you know, I've heard a lot of golfers say, well, you know, if you get the bad draw, you end up missing the cutter or you're out of your tournament in terms of the weather or the timing of it. Everybody gets the same draw this way. Everybody starts at the same time. Everybody finishes at the same time. I could see why maybe that's something that could be attractive. However, you can do that with 48 players. How can you do that with 144 and make it organized and make it nice? I don't know if you can. Maybe that's something that they'll try to look at going forward. But the attraction of playing in the LIV tournaments right now, too, are the fact that the fields are smaller. So you've got a realistic chance of finishing higher just based upon sheer math. I mean, there's 48. The chance of you maybe finishing 10th is a lot better than when there's 10 out of 144.
Brian, one last one, because we do have a major. Brookline, Mass, what is this course looking like? Set us up for the U.S. Open next week.
Super tight. A lot of rough, kind of a classic old school U.S. Open course. Not very long, similar to maybe what we saw at Marion about 7-8 years ago when Justin Rose ended up winning in that tournament. It was just over 7,000 yards. This one's going to be a little longer than that, but it won't be, you know, 7,800 yards like we've seen at some of these other venues along the way. It's an old event, or an old course. So they've done what they can with the land that they have to try to increase the yardage. But I think that what will be the challenge next week will be staying out of the rough. They'll make pin placements, I'm sure, extremely difficult. They'll try to speed up the greens as much as possible. And it's a cool venue because we'll get a chance to kind of relive what has become a cool story when Francis Ouimet ended up winning, 1913, I think, over, you know, two of the kings of golf when he, the greatest game ever played, that movie that was about that amateur player that was a caddy that ended up going on to win the U.S. Open. So we'll get to hear stories and tidbits about the anniversary of it coming back to the place where that took place back in the early teens, I guess, when that event actually took place.
Brian, great stuff as always. Thanks for educating us on all the new intricacies and the changing landscape of professional golf. It seems like it's changing as we know it. It may change as we know it forever. Look forward to talking to you again real soon, and we'll be listening for you on the Tee to Green show this weekend and on the Odyssey app.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Brian Koziel. WGR. Also hear Brian on the Sabres broadcast throughout the course of the season here on The Fan.
Okay, we didn't even get to that. I mean, like, honestly, it's this is a sport that right now, it's these are interesting times for sure.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to call an audible at the line of scrimmage here, Gino. NFL appetizers, we've got news and notes from around the NFL. Let's get to that during happy hour, which is on the way next in the sports bar. We'll give you a little bit more on what Cooper Kupp has coming his way. Washington, not getting any of that public money.
Greg
with two G's is back in the news. So we'll get to some of those stories and more next during happy hour. A round of shots coming up as well. And as always, time for your calls on the other side at 585-THE-FAN here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on The Fan Rochester. It's me, Mike Danger, for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 95.7 The Fan. This baseball season, swing for the fences on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code Mike, M-I-K-E, to get in on the action. FanDuel lets you bet the money line, home run props, strikeout totals, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. Oh, one of our favorites let me down today. The Cincinnati Reds dropping one to the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-4, built a little parlay, had the Diamondbacks on the money line. All I needed was a hit from Kyle Farmer, who let me down. It's okay. I dust myself off. Get back in there. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Just join with promo code Mike. Turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Odyssey has sports for every fan. Keep up with your favorite teams from across the country and get the inside scoop from experts. AUDACY. Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.